Environment, Energy, and Natural Resources Budget Division will come to order. Hopefully now everybody's gotten a copy of all the pertinent documents so we can have a nice, quiet, orderly committee hearing and try to go through all the information. More copies are being made if people didn't get everything that they need. So we will have those shortly. So we will adopt the bill today and the spreadsheet. And what we're going to do is go through the language briefly because there's just a few tweaks that were made, technical changes since yesterday. So we want to make sure those are clear. And then we will go through the spreadsheet. And I want to start by affirming the targets that we have for this committee. And this has been a work in progress. It's been a little bit unclear, and so I apologize if that's been for the ambiguity to the public, but it's been difficult to meet everybody's needs, given our budget restrictions and the fact that we really don't have a budget surplus. So it's been a very difficult process arriving at targets. What we have is, for the ongoing money, I think as everyone knows, the target for that for this committee is $20 million. And then the one-time money, separate from clean water, is a target of $11 million. I misspoke yesterday. It's $11 million in one-time money. And then we have a separate target for clean water, which is $70 million for the biennium. And so what we will do is go through those separately, and the articles that we have reflect those different areas. Okay, so with that, I'll ask the staff to go through the language. Mr. Knopf?
Madam Chair and members, I'll just briefly go through some of the and highlight some changes, and there are just a couple of issues, too, in Article 1, which is now SC5527-2, which is basically the same as SC5527-1 with the changes that I'll mention. There were some technical changes also in removing some riders that are now in the one-time article, but first of all, if you can look on page 28, there's the just to note that the changes that were adopted yesterday are included in this for the off-highway vehicle safety and conservation program. Again, just to note that that's different from the earlier document based on the amendments yesterday. There have also been some issues on a number of areas in DNR on the effective date of some of the fee and license changes. I don't know if the committee wants to deal with that today or just to kind of give the staff the authority to work with the DNR to get to the right effective dates. It could affect the money in some of those accounts, by the way Mr. Mueller carries it. But I've heard that the watercraft fee on page watercraft fees on page 32 and 33 could be difficult if they're not established on January 1 of 2008. This is the way the DNR language came in the governor's bill. But there is some concern about the effect of that. I just wanted to raise that for the committee. And then also you'll also notice on 33 that missing section is now there, 89.421. So that's a change from yesterday's. There's one typo on 37.21. It should be 2007, not 2008. That's just a typo. You can just incorporate that in the document. I don't think you need to move that as an amendment to this. But it should have read 2007, not 2008. Also with the effective dates, there with the changes in the hunting fees, if you look on page 38, you'll see that the change on the surcharge is effective March 1st, 2008, and it's the same with the fishing license surcharge. But the other fees for the non-resident under age 18, I don't know if the department knows yet how they want to handle that, because the synopsis will likely be out by the time this bill passes, and it won't necessarily reflect this law change. So I'm not sure how the department will handle that. But the bill came in from the agency without changing the effective date or a separate effective date for that. Otherwise, this would be effective on July 1. And the question is whether they want it to happen this fall or wait till next year. The other issue is the volunteer deer license donation. I'm not sure if the agency is able to rework their computer system to get that up and going this fall. I don't know. Generally, with game and fish fee changes, we make those effective March 1st of the following year because that's the new license year. I just wanted to raise that. I don't know if the committee needs to address that today, but it is. It's a potential issue on some of the game and fish license changes. Otherwise, that's basically it. Like I said, a few technical amendments on riders and that, but I just wanted to point those out to the members.
Well, and my preference would be just to wait on those, and, you know, we have plenty of time before this bill becomes law, and we know there will be a lot of changes along the way and a lot of stops along the way, and so we can work out those small details as we get more information. Better to do it after there's adequate information, I think, than to try to rush into it now. And my wish would be to finish this bill in our normal committee time. Otherwise, we'll be back tonight, and I'm sure nobody would really want to do that. So let's try to get our work done and move on. This bill is scheduled to be in the full Finance Committee next Tuesday. And then all the finance bills are scheduled to pass off the floor before Easter and Passover week. So we will be moving quickly, but then, of course, we'll have to wait for the House to catch up with us. And so we've got some time before we get to conference committee. Senator Chaudhry.
Madam Chair, just quick, what was the missing section that is reinserted?
Madam Chair, it's the
It's
on page 33. It's at Forest Resource Assessment Practice. It was in Senator Saxog's 438. There are some other sections that referred to that, but that just fell through the cracks in putting the document together for yesterday.
So it's page 33, section 33.
33, right.
Okay. All right. Any other questions about the language? And any changes in the other sections, Mr. Mueller?
Madam Chair, the only major change between Article 2 and the first one-time appropriation article is moving the hydrogen initiative. In yesterday's version of the bill, it was in the one-time article, and now it's in the energy article. And thus, the spreadsheet will reflect that also. So some money would be coming from the Renewable Development Fund for the hydrogen initiative. And the other piece that I just noticed that I forgot to add to the language in the one-time appropriations under Bowser, but I am carrying the number in the spreadsheet, there's a small $2,000 appropriation for the Faribault Soil and Water Conservation District to help pay for erosion repair in the Blue Earth River. So that language will have to go on the one-time language under Bowser.
And this was brought, this request was kind of an emergency request brought to us by Senator Rosen. And so we've already put the $2,000 into our spreadsheet. We were able to incorporate that in. So we'll just need to add that language by amendment.
And other than that, the clean water article is the same as what we passed out last night. So there's no changes to that. And there's a couple other technical changes, I think, in the one-time article, but they are not really of too much significance.
Okay. All right, we ready to go through the spreadsheet?
Sure. Madam Chair, the spreadsheet that I've passed out is a 8-page spreadsheet. The first 5 pages. The first 4 pages show change items for all funds. Now, I have a more detailed spreadsheet that's about 18 pages long that goes into more detail by each division of each agency that is available if anyone wants to see that. But this summarizes everything at the change item level. The way to, probably the best way to go through this, I've lettered the columns up on top. And also note on starting on page 5 is just general fund change items. And we'll go through that after we go through the other one to show how we got to our target. But at least the first 4 pages show all the change items for all the funds. Columns A, B, and C are the Senate budget. The first 3 lines under each agency are the base. And then below that will be all the change items. Now, remember, although the ones that are appearing in the one-time appropriation bill are not on this spreadsheet. That'll be in a separate spreadsheet. And there's basically 3 points of references to judge the Senate proposal by. Column D is the Senate proposal as it compares to the previous biennium. Column E is the Senate versus forecast, which is where we get our target from. And then column F is the Senate proposal versus the governor's proposal. Now, there'll be some on some of the big differences, like right away on line 10, you notice we have zero for clean water here. That's because it's being carried in a separate one-time bill, and we have to track that separately. So right on these pages right here, we're just tracking Articles 1 and 2. And then I have a separate spreadsheet that tracks our one-time one-time articles, and that's the way we have to track it this year in the Senate. So I'll go through, like I said, hopefully I got all the columns, and columns are lettered and the lines are numbered, so I'll try to go through this the best I can. If you have questions, maybe at the end of each agency we can stop and see if anyone has any questions. The first change item, and I'll be working mostly off column E, the Senate versus forecast. The first change item is the compensation adjustment for PCA. Again, the Senate was working off a 3.25% general fund compensation adjustment. The governor's bill all had a 2%. So you'll notice the column F on Senate versus governor on all these compensation adjustments, the Senate's always a little bit higher than the governor on those. So the Senate was $168,000 higher than the governor on compensation. That's the only general fund change item that'll be in Article 1 for PCA. The rest are all out of the Environmental Fund and Remediation Fund. Line 13, maintain service level of air programs. That was the governor's initiative. That's something where we have to maintain a certain level of spending for air programs, and that comes out of the Environmental Fund. We are not doing the Green Fleet's proposals as per the governor's budget, but we do have an item in the one-time bill for Green Fleet's school buses that's coming out of general fund. We're doing the governor's request for SCORE grants at $1.5 million per year. The Senate budget is moving the ethanol request that the governor had coming from general fund. We've moved that to the environmental fund, and that's a one-time expenditure for 08-09 only. The understanding would be after that the department had talked about that they would raise some fees to cover this cost. And when they do that, this would all happen on the environmental fund anyway. So we thought it best to start the appropriation out from the environmental fund. Next, we have $500,000 per year that relates to the Senator Sieben bill for environmental health tracking and biomonitoring. This will be transferred to partially, PCA will keep part of it to their portion of the proposal, and the rest of it will be transferred to the Department of Health. And then the last one, out of the remediation fund, this was the governor's proposal for another $52,000 per year that will also be transferred to the Department of Health to do some other, I think they do water testing with that. So that's it for Pollution Control Agency in Article 1.
Questions? Senator Shadry.
Madam Chair, Mr. Mueller. On line 19, the biomonitoring, what is the PCA's portion of that? Is there a dollar amount associated with PCA in this line item?
Madam Chair, Senator Shadre, depending on the most recent version of the fiscal note of that bill, PCA had a little bit of staff costs that, according to the fiscal note, at one time was requested to be covered by general fund. I think it was $100,000 or so. And the language of that proposal is being carried in a health bill. And it's still undergoing some modifications maybe. But this is the most that we'll be contributing, at least in this area. So hopefully they get the language down to the level that will be covered with this appropriation for the total proposal. But, yeah, there will probably be a few staff people from PCA that will be contributing to this proposal, and they will be covered out of this $500. The rest will be transferred to the Department of Health.
Thank you.
Okay, go ahead, Mr. Mueller.
Next, we have the Minnesota Zoo. Their forecast base is $37.4 million. The new change items here are the increased utilities costs. That was a general fund for $500,000. We had a little bit higher compensation adjustment, about $238,000 higher than the governor. And then the lottery. And then the lottery in lieu.
Sorry.
The lottery in lieu is, it looks like a new change item, but it's kind of a base item, but we just had to reauthorize it. And we're continuing that as an ongoing appropriation so that it will stay in the base. But those are all governor's proposals, except for the compensation adjustment is higher than the governor's.
Yeah.
Next, we get on to the Department of Natural Resources, and this is the major part of our spreadsheet here. Again, for their total agency base budget going into this is $635,587,000, and that includes all their spending, state and federal. And then we'll start going through the change items. The first one is the general fund governor's amount change item for minerals management. Second one is the same portion that's coming, or similar portion that's coming out of the Natural Resources Fund. And that fund will be closing after 08. And then basically the proposal is after fiscal year 08, the money will be coming out of the general fund to fund that division. The land asset management, this was a governor's proposal. The governor had a little bit more money in here. We were able to do $587,000 and $588,000 ongoing, which is in total is about $545,000 less than the governor. The compensation adjustment, again, the Senate is about $2.3 million above what the DNR had for a compensation adjustment out of the general fund. Now, this, again, all in the DNR's budget, they have their compensation adjustment spread between all the divisions. This rolls it up all into one line, at least for this spreadsheet. The clean water appropriations, we're not doing in this bill. We're doing it in another bill. The ethanol water supply, again, that was a one-time general fund request. We're doing that in our one-time bill. We're doing the governor's proposal to swap out some of the forestry costs from the general fund into the natural resources fund. So you'll see a negative here. And then down on the next page on line 76, as you see a positive, which is under the natural resources fund. So that's just a swap between funds. The land records management system, there's a portion of this that is being carried in the one-time spending, and that's some technology increases that the department asked for land records management system. The natural resources fund portion and the game and fish fund portion of that proposal are being carried in this bill, and that is at the governor's level. There's additional, I think, $430,000 per year, or for 2 years, that's in the one-time bill out of the general fund for this purpose. Next, we get down to the forestry area. And general fund ongoing request, we have $1.5 million per year for the forest management investment, another $500 per year for forest land management, and the sustainable forest reauthorization at the $780 per year. Those are all at the governor's level. There's a few other items in the one-time bill that deals with forestry also. A couple other things from the general fund. One down on line 59, interpretive services. This was an item that was the next two items, the non-motorized forest rec trails and the interpretive services were part of the governor's reallocation, but we're basically counting those as new spending here. So those are at governor's level. Line 61 is a new item. It's some increased base funding for the trails area, for non-motorized trails area, $500,000 per year that goes into the ongoing into the base. The Wild and Scenic River is the next one. That was part of the governor's reallocation proposal. And then we have a bunch of appropriations here for Project Wild. And the governor had some new money coming out of three different areas, the general fund, the game and fish fund, and the natural resources fund. So those are lines 65 through 67. And that was all at the governor's level and all ongoing. Next page. We're not doing the governor's marketing reduction in ecological services. They had a small $38,000 cut to ecological services here. We're doing the governor's conservation officer training at $300,000 per year ongoing. We're not doing the Southern Regional Planner. We do have an item in the one-time budget that will address this. I think it was Senator Parisel's bill. Then we have some invasive species proposals. the land-based invasive species number, you'll see the Senate number is about 244,000 less than the governor. We have a provision in the bill that increases non-resident hunting licenses by $5, and that recovers about $122,000 per year. So we're putting that into the land-based invasive species, and then so we were able to reduce the general fund contribution, at least at, from the governor's level, to that for that purpose. So you see on the Senate versus Gov on column F, there's a minus 244 and then a plus 244, so it balances out. The prairie wetlands proposal on line 73, there's a number we're carrying in the one-time budget for that. The game and fish portion of the prairie's wetland, we are taking the governor's proposal at 575 per year, but making it for the 08-09 year only. The account that the DNR had it coming out of wasn't sustainable to make this ongoing. The wildlife disease management, again, was the governor's and Senator Scoy proposal. You'll note that the tails is actually smaller on this line item. It goes down to $66,000 per year for the tails. We talked about the line 76, where this was the transfer from forestry costs from the general fund to the forest management investment account. The next items all the way down to line 82 are all items out of the forest management investment account. These were all in the governor's budget. The only change is line item 78 and 79. We made those one time only to sort of keep the fund integrity going in that fund. Otherwise, it's going, it wouldn't been, would have been close to zero after into the tail. So, but, and it, overall, we'll probably have to take another look at that fund probably next year, too, depending on how some of the revenues play out and some of the other language in the bill. But we're able to do all the governor's proposals, just some of them as one time. The next three or six line items deals with ATV. Line 83 through 85 was the governor's ATV gas tax, and you can see we're carrying zeros there. But then lines 86 through 88 is Senator Chaudhry's bill dealing with the ATV gas tax and then spending increases. For this line item, you won't note on 87, in the spreadsheet we had passed out, we showed 500 and 500, 500 going to enforcement and 500 education. The education really happens in the enforcement area of DNR. So I rolled those two numbers together, but when we put the appropriations in the bill, it'll spell that out separately. And then the 75,000 under ecological services. Next, we have the two canoe route bills that we heard from Senator Dill and Fredrickson. That comes out of the Natural Resources Fund. The maintenance of service is a governor's item. This is where they've built their 3.25% increase across the fund. That's just a basic increase. The balsam bow permit fees, that was something that was originally in the governor's budget, but I think it's been removed since across the board. Yeah. The forest land use special events was a governor's item. The next two lines, it's just a swapping of funds, $325,000 and $350,000. Used to be in a natural resources fund account, and now we're switching it over to a special revenue account. So that's just a fund swap. The state park increases is tied to a new camping. Or park camping fee increase, so that's $500,000 in 08 and $750,000 in 09 and ongoing. The snowmobile grant and aids was the governor's proposal of money that's already coming into the account. There's no new fees tied to this. That's $700,000 per year. The aquatic invasive species is the other part of the invasive species proposal. This would be tied to the boat fee increase and also the non-resident fishing fee increase. And this is at the governor's level. The deer hunter voluntary donation. Right now I'm carrying just a number here which was still in when it was mandatory, but we have no idea how much the voluntary is going to be. The expenditures are directly tied to the revenues coming in. So if the revenues are less, the expenditures will be less. It's a statutory appropriation. But for now, I'm still carrying the same number
Well, Madam Chair, that could be zero even.
Could be zero.
Senator Vickerman. Yeah, it's got to be self-sustaining. That's
yeah.
That's but part of the deal. Otherwise, it won't happen.
It doesn't affect any other funds or accounts or anything at all. Whatever goes in goes back out for the same purpose, and it isn't supported by any other funds or anything. But for now, I'm carrying
Madam Chair, we don't have to set any money aside because that's
nope.
Right.
That's right.
Yeah. And when we get to the last page of this packet of spreadsheets, there's a revenue sheet, and I'm carrying the same number on the revenue side. So this is just for tracking purposes. It's not an appropriation. The Let's Go Fishing is $350 for 08-09 only out of the Game and Fish Fund.
Can I mention that's, is that out of the
JU? Yeah, that'll be.
Or that's the Heritage.
That's in the Game and Fish Fund.
It's in the Game and Fish Fund. The next is the Governor's Maintenance of Service Levels within the Game and Fish Fund. That's just the overall increase that to all game and fish activities to 3.25%. The next two items we did not do as part of the governor had shifting treaty costs out of the Game and Fish Fund over the general fund. We did not do that. The South Metro, this is another wildlife coordinator for $256,000 we did not do. We want to note that some of these items that we didn't do, there is a rather large overall increase to the DNR and compensation increase and some of those other things. So hopefully they can cover some of those costs with that. Game and Fish Fund Oversight Coordinator did that for $90,000 per year. The boat, or DJ, and or the, what's the full name of that again?
Dingle Johnson.
Dingle Johnson, yeah.
Walpro.
Well, it's the Walpro enhancement to the Dingle.
Yeah, it's the, that was in the governor's proposal out of the Game and Fish Fund. Angling Hunter Recruitment, that was out of the, from the governor's proposal, $150 per year. Fishing Tourney License Fees, that was again from the governor's proposal. $108,000 per year. And the roadside habitat, the governor at $100,000 per year, we're at $150,000. And then the last two items is just sort of a accounting mechanism to reflect how we did not do the governor's rec on changing all the game and fish accounts over to statutory. We kept them as direct appropriations. You want to note on line F, Senate versus governor, it nets out to zero, but there'll be a net decrease in some of the way we're going to appropriate the same amount of money that was in the governor's budget, but in one of the accounts, at least the base was too high based on some numbers errors that were being carried. So that's why it shows a negative, but it was in the governor's budget, and like I said, we're keeping them all as direct appropriations and not changed to statutory. So that is it for DNR. We're about $50 million over the forecast when we count all the funds.
Mr. Knopf.
Madam Chair, I just wanted to clarify. You kind of raised the question when Mr. Mueller was going through it, but the Game and Fish Fund money for the Let's Go Fishing, you can see it, the rider in the document you have shows it coming from the Heritage Enhancement account. That's the lottery and loot portion of the game, but it is in the Game and Fish Fund, so it's coming from the same fund. I just wanted people to be clear about
this.
It's not licensed money.
Thank you. That's what I was looking for. I appreciate that. Any other questions about the DNR budget, the ongoing budget, I should say? Senator Chaudhry.
Thanks, Madam Chair. On line 96, snowmobile grant and aid, maybe the DNR could answer a question. Does this relate to some of the formula change on the...
Do you know the answer to that?
The grant and aid relating to snowmobiles?
Let's ask Mr. Knopf. Maybe he can answer.
Okay.
Madam Chair, Senator Chaudhry, as I understand it, that's the it's the fee increase from a couple of years ago. I think they didn't. There's more money that's come in than they expected at the time, and then they're able to appropriate more money for that purpose now.
Trail sticker.
Madam Chair, I think it's the
Senator Bach.
The trail sticker that we did 2 years ago is bringing in a lot more money than they anticipated.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Correct. All right, go ahead, please.
Next, we have Met Council Regional Parks. One change item here, which is not in the governor's budget. We are able to increase the base appropriation, $500,000 in 08 and $750,000 09 and ongoing to the Met Regional Parks.
And I would just mention that's the same amount that the state parks. So the state parks and metro parks will be having the same level of increase in the base in this
metro
budget.
Parks, that's Metro Parks, seven county metro areas.
That's the regional park system, including the city parks and all the suburban parks, the big ones, not just the little local parks, but the big regional parks.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's the only change item for Metro Parks. Conservation Corps, again, the governor didn't have any changes in Conservation Corps. We added $250,000 per year to the base, the Conservation Corps.
Madam Chair.
Senator Chaudhry.
Before we leave the page, could I ask the department about the fishing tournament license fee? I don't think I heard from the department in our discussion what they think the amount of the fees might be. I'm getting a few questions about what those might be. Can the department answer a question on that?
Senator Chaudhry, we don't have a lot of time for taking Same comments, but we could, if they have, could give us a brief answer to your question, we'll happily take it. Welcome. Mr. Bogus.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members. Ed Bogus with the Division of Fish and Wildlife, DNR. I don't have those numbers at my fingertips, Senator Chaudhry, but I know it's about 600 permit applications. So whatever, $108,000 divided by 600 would be the average cost of a permit, and it's going to be graduated with higher fees for the bigger permits and lower fees for the smaller permits. And I can't do that math in my head either.
$180.
And the answer is?
Well, $18.
About $18?
Yeah.
Oh, that's not much. Okay.
On average.
Thank you. On average.
Madam Chair, that sounds a little lower than what I thought the number was, but I was thinking it was around 100, a little over 100, but.
Well, maybe you could get back to us.
We will get back to you.
All right, Mr. Mueller.
On to page 3, the Board of Water and Soil Resources. Now, again, these are the only changes that are in this bill. There are some other changes that are in the one-time appropriation bill. The change items that are included in this bill is the $300 ongoing on line 139 for the drainage work group recs. That's ongoing money. There's also $560,000 of ongoing money dealing with the Wetland Conservation Act. Senator Vickerman's bill providing some additional resources for the Area 2 floodplain management. Do the governor's level of operations for rent increase, and then the Senate level of compensation adjustment. So those are all general fund changes, about $2.223 million increase over the forecast general fund changes. Like I said, in the one-time article, there are also a number of changes under Bowser for both clean water and some of these other wetland programs for one-time money. Next, we get to the Science Museum. The Senate here has basically doubled the governor's. The governor had $250,000 per year of ongoing increase. The Senate increased that to $500. So Senate versus the Gov on line F, you'll see we're $500 over the governor to the Science Museum. Line 162, we're just showing the I have to track the LCCMR bill that we already passed out of here. So I'm just tracking that here. No change items. Next, we get the Public Utilities Commission on line 175 and below. Again, all these changes here are mostly staffing increases and that are tied, like line 184 to the Senator Dibble bill that we passed. We have to track another staff person within that. And the way it works with Public Utilities Commission is any of the new expenditures that we grant them in an appropriation, they recoup again in general fund revenue. So there's an offsetting revenue amount that's tied to this. So the net effect of the change items for Public Utilities Commission is zero to our target. The last page.
Madam Chair, I'm sorry.
Senator Paraso.
Mr. Mueller. Is this worksheet we're working on, though, is this just Article 1? This entire packet is
Article 1 and 2. Yes. Because Article 2 in our language contains Commerce and Public Utilities Commission.
Well, my question, Madam Chair, is where does Let's see, in Article 2, Section 6, occur on this sheet, on this worksheet.
What is that?
Revenue.
Madam Chair, that, I haven't been through the Department of Commerce yet, but when we get to that, and especially for that section, the money for the contributions for the Monticello plant goes into the RDF fund. That's really a fund that's outside the state tracking, so we don't track the total amount that goes in and out of that fund. The change items we have is money coming in from the RDF that comes into a state account. So when we, at least for our tracking purposes, we don't track the total RDF account as a state fund. So when we request more money be put into the RDF fund, we don't track that necessarily.
Madam Chair, then, how do we justify requiring it in the legislation that's before us?
Senator Pearson,
we don't do anything about tracking.
Why don't we finish, because that's the last section, and go through it, and then we can get to your questions, okay? Because we're not quite there yet.
Madam Chair and members.
Mr. Mueller.
Finishing up here with the Commerce Department, at least the change items on page 4. The E85 proposal from the governor had $12 million of one-time general fund money. There's a scaled-back version of that in our one-time bill. Compensation adjustment, again, is at the Senate level, which is a little bit $132,000 higher than the governor. We have Senator Metzen's bill, which is an appropriation coming out of the Telecommunication Access Fund. And then we get to some the demand efficiency here. I'm tracking the Senator Dibble bill that came through our committee before. Again, that collects that's a revenue-driven program, so it's all the 2.8 and the 4.9 million we have to track in this committee, but that is tied to revenue that's coming into that special revenue account. So that's all revenue. That's a net zero program. Then we have some items that were in the governor's budget out of the RDF fund. And the way that this works in the governor's budget is the governor requests a transfer from the RDF fund to the Department of Commerce, and then the Commerce issues grants for these proposals. $500,000 per year for methane digesters, $500,000 per year for solar rebates, and this is a continuing program, $500,000 per year for the CERTS program. The governor had some money, $1 million per year out of the RDF for the hybrid electric vehicle program, and we're not doing that, but we do have a line item in the one-time bill for that purpose. And then the governor had $5 million in 08 and in 09 out of the RDF that would go to the Department of Commerce to issue next generation energy research grants. And some of the new items in this bill is $1 million for the Renewable Hydrogen Initiative, $1 million for the Rural Wind Energy Revolving Loan, $4 million per year for the IRE within the Institute of Renewable Energy and the Environment.
Mm-hmm.
Acronyms. $4 million per year would be going to that. And then one last one out of the RDF is for a carbon sequestration study. And that is it for Commerce, and that is all the change items that are in Article 1 and 2 of the articles you have in front of you. And one last thing, just to go through pages 5, 6, and 7. Now, these are just the general fund change items. I'm not going to go through them again because they were in the first ones here, but this just summarizes everything in the general fund. And if you go to page 7, and look in that middle column under Senate minus forecast, this is where we get to our target of $20 million. We actually have $22.658 of new spending, which is offset by $2.658 million of revenues. Most of these come from the Department of Commerce when they reassess their ongoing expenditures. So we net out to $20 million for our ongoing spending target. You'll note in the tails we're actually more than, we're at $25.742 million. We had our tails increase mostly because of the minerals management proposal. So that is all general fund money in the tails, and in the current biennium, it's only 1 year of general fund money, which was 2.6 million per year. Then the last page is revenues. These are all the new revenues. These aren't necessarily new fees, but just new revenues that we count in our bill. I'll go through them quick. Look under the Senate 0809. Under general fund, there's a small, in all the changes that the governor had with the forest management account and new expenditures off of that, they're expecting a little bit of new money to come into the general fund, about $90,000 per year. And then the next line is the offsetting revenue that PUC collects for their new expenditures. Under special revenue, again, there's a line item for whenever the forestry, how the way they collect their revenues, it gets spread out into a couple number of different accounts. Some of it goes to special revenue accounts, $130,000 per year. The next item is part of the fund switch between, it'll be on line 32, you'll see a positive in a natural resources fund for the same amount. This is just a technical change about where some of the forestry dollars are counted. The 485 is the Senator Erickson Ropes deer hunting voluntary checkoff proposal. Again, I'm carrying the number from the original bill for now. And we had a, on the expenditure side, we had this, we were carrying the same number. The line 16 is the Senator Dibble bill. This is where the money comes into the Department of Commerce. And we showed earlier where it is expended. So we're tracking that revenue and the expenditures in this under this spreadsheet. And then the line 17 is the money that we're tracking that is coming in from the Renewable Development Fund into the Department of Commerce, and then they basically redirect it per the language in the bill. Under game and fish funds, we just have a couple of small change items. The fishing tourney license fee of $108,000 per year, and then $110,000 per year in the tails. The lifetime trapping consider parasol, that's a small loss of revenue, $22,000 and then $3,000 per year. At least for now, I think the way that when that goes into the lifetime, there will be some recouping of costs somewhere down the road in that. And then right now, as per my last conversation with the department, as far as the language that we were caring for the giving free hunting and fishing license to reservists, we're still carrying a little bit lost revenue of minus $10,000 and $38,000 per year ongoing. As of this morning, that's still the number, but we'll see if that changes upon further review of our language. Under the Natural Resources Fund, there are a number of changes, a couple dealing with the new income that is expected into the Forest Management Investment Account of $380,000 per year. That was in the governor's bill. The next one was just a fund swap. The state park camping fee increases is $750,000 in this biennium, and then $1 million in the tails. Line 34 is a new item in the Senate bill. This is our $5 surcharge on non-resident hunting licenses, and this money would then be dedicated and put for land-based invasive species. The next one is the non-resident fishing fees that was in the governor's bill. That's a $2 surcharge, and that goes is also dedicated to invasive species. And then the next one is the boat fees, which is dedicated to invasive species. The next one is Senator Chaudhary's bill on the ATV registration fee increase. It brings in about $1.6 million per year. And the next line item is the governor's ATV gas tax that we did not do. The last item is, again, a little bit of additional income based off the forestry proposals that will go into the permanent school fund, about $300,000 for the biennium. And that is...
Okay. Questions? Senator Parasol.
Madam Chair, since we just finished this last page... On line 24, it shows a decrease in revenue. At the same time, they'll be selling lifetime licenses during that year. And there is there any talk about balancing out the income that comes from those lifetime licenses, which you pay for upfront in a much higher level than you do annual fees.
Okay.
Only half of the equation here.
Yeah, I think we have to ask Mr. Bogus to answer that question, how it works in terms of tracking it. Is he still here? Mr. Bogus, could you help us, please?
Adding trapping to life.
Yeah, but...
Madam,
Mr. Bogus.
Madam Chair and Senator Paraso, this is based on a number of current lifetime small game license holders who also have been validating or who have also been purchasing trapping licenses. And that's what our estimate of approximately $2,000 a year of reduced revenue. Those people under this bill would no longer need to purchase a trapping license. They could just go in and into an ELS agent and validate, and they would receive a trapping license and a small game license. This money goes into the lifetime trust account. We would still get the transfer of the money for the small game license and for the trapping license into the Game and Fish Fund. So it's just, if there's an impact long term, it's going to depend on how this prediction actually works out in balancing out that lifetime trust account. It's not going to have any immediate impact on Game and Fish Fund balances because we'll still get those same fees transferred out. And I don't know if that was the point you were trying to make or not, but those people that were purchasing the trapping license will still get validated for a trapping license, and the money that they would have paid will be transferred out of the Lifetime Trust Fund into the Game and Fish Fund. So the Game and Fish Fund itself will not be affected by this directly.
Madam Chair, I appreciate that information. I was just wondering if there's a way you can estimate, after the usage of the other lifetime licenses for other purposes, how many are likely to be picked up by the trappers who will, for the first time, that will be available to them.
Madam Chair and Senator Paraso, if I understand the question, we do expect that we have about 7,000 licensed trappers now out of about 270,000 small game license holders, and we do expect that quite a few of those 7,000 people who currently buy the separate trapping license, that a number of those will buy the lifetime license. So we would expect an increase in lifetime license sales.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Bogus. Okay. All right. Yeah, one-time money. Now, and I apologize, members, it's a little, and to the public, it's a little confusing because we fund a lot of things out of one time that the governor has an ongoing and vice versa, so it's a little bit hard to track some items. So just make sure you look at everything before you get too excited. And we'll let Mr. Mueller go through the one-time spreadsheet next.
Madam Chair, you should have been handed out another one-pager on one side of it. Called Environment and Natural Resources One-Time Request General Fund. On the back side of it should be the Clean Water One-Time Request. And this pertains to the, we'll tie back to the two articles that are also labeled likewise. The first one, and I'll go through the Environment, Energy, and Natural Resources One-Time Request first. Under Pollution Control Agency, there's $300,000 one time for the bus portion of the Green Fleet proposal. This is to help retrofit some of the emission systems for school buses in the state. The request was $700,000 per year for 2 years, and scaled that back to $300,000. Next, we have the plasma torch study from Senator Saxhog bill of $400,000. So $700,000 total for PCA. Next, Department of Natural Resources. The ethanol water supply at $1.715 million. This was the governor's proposal for general fund one-time expenditures. This is at the governor's level. I think I reduced the 08 number by $1,000 to tie out to $11 million, but... the lands records... the lands records management system. The governor had spread amongst many divisions, but approximately about $1.5 million for this proposal. And this is, again, to fund their technology upgrade for land records. We're doing 860. Next, we have the two reports under the Forest Resource Council for $200,000 per year. These are also in the governor's budget. The firewood sales limitation, this was in the governor's budget based on a bill that we've passed earlier that would help restrict the and publicly market the restriction of bringing different firewood from around the state into camp public areas, campgrounds. The prairie wetlands proposal, the governor had, this was for a grant program. The governor had $575,000 per year. We were able to do $250,000. The Red River mediation agreement from Senator Kubley is $100,000 per year. Now, these are, none of this is ongoing. This would be all one-time funding. Some additional money for fencing in, up in the area of the state where they're experiencing the bovine tuberculosis disease. Senator Paris' proposal, the $200,000 for that land that the state acquired from the University of Minnesota to help in that carry out their plans. The $350,000 for the International Wolf Center, Senator Bach proposal. Senator, $100,000 for the shade tree replacement program or proposal from Senator Dibble, and then the $200,000, or actually $400,000 total for the Silviculture Research Center. So that's about $4.889 million for the DNR. Next, we get to the Board of Water and Soil Resources. These are all one-time appropriations. The first two are from Senator Kubley's Senate File 480, which was the overall bioenergy bill that portions of it is are being carried also in the agriculture bill. But these are some scaled back amounts for some of the proposals in that bill. $500,000 for biomonitoring grants and $200,000 to help develop some clean energy standards. $500,000 per year, which is half the amount that was in the governor's proposal for Wetland Conservation Act local grants. The $150,000 per year for the drainage work group recs, the guidelines and the grants of $300,000, that was the same level as the governor. The Wetland Conservation Act plan of $60,000, that was in the governor's budget. Lake Titlow Watershed Agreement of $15,000 per year. And Senator Ferguson, in the appropriation language, we did take out that reference to the statutes that we crossed out last night, so that's already out of the bill. The Minnesota River Basin Joint Powers Board, $92,000 per year. Senator Frederickson proposal. And then here's the $2,000 that I mentioned before for the Blue Earth Board of Water and Soil Resources. I have that line or that language is not in the article right now, but we're carrying the money here, and I have the language, and it's a pretty simple, straight-up appropriation. So that's $1.911 million per year for Bowser. The last one is Commerce. We have $500,000 for the E85 grants. The governor had $12 million for this. And this would continue funding about the same level that was previously in, under the Department of Ag for this program. The next $500,000 was actually part of a $2 million request from the RDF fund in the governor's proposal. That's down to $500,000 here in the one-time general fund. Senator Anderson's Rural Wind Energy Program of $2 million, and then heating assistant grants of $500,000, which brings our one-time target to $11 million even.
Madam Chair.
Senator Vickerman.
Madam Chair, I want to go to E85. Am I reading this right? That's $500,000?
Yes.
What are you going to have, just two pumps? No, I'm serious.
Well,
do you expect people to use E85? My son's got to drive 40 miles to even fill his truck up. That isn't a lot of money, but I know we're tight, and I understand that.
Yeah, Senator Vickerman, I'm sympathetic. I mean, I want to see more pumps, and we know there's a lot of demand out there for E85, and we want to get it around the state. There's no way we could do anything like the amount that the governor was proposing. This amount is the same that was in last year's budget, and
I think we are, a lot of us, you know, I think we believe that the it's getting to be such a marketable product that there's going to be a lot of development of E85 pumps around the state, with, we think, without needing grants to do it. So this will help in the situations where they really need some help. And I think, I don't know, there's been some, Mr. Mueller?
Madam Chair and Senator Vickerman, in the past, I believe this was funded in cooperation with the American Lung Association, and they were able to use some federal money, some private monies. Right now, I don't know how much of that they're getting. They say it's some of that has dried up, but there may be more federal money maybe coming on that too. But in talking with them a little bit on this, that they do try prioritizing these grants to the areas of the state that do not have E85 pumps. You know, they're not going to give a grant to someone, a gas station where there's already a pump across the street. So they do prioritize, and they did say that more and more stations are doing this on their own because there is becoming more of a market for it. So, it is an expensive process for some stations to do it, but if they're already maybe undergoing or building a new station or undergoing a lot of work, they can probably do this within their normal work. But just to convert an old tank and old pump that they have sitting there into an E85, it does take a little bit of a boost of money to do that.
Well, Madam Chair.
Senator Vickerman.
I know for a fact that my hometown is a BP pump. The big company doesn't want to do it. You just watch when they start. Everybody wants E85. You see how fast they're going to take that same tank and put it in there. So
yeah.
It'll come itself in time.
I think it will, and I've noticed in St. Paul when I try to fill up with there were four filling stations in St. Paul that sold E85, and now there's more, and I've noticed some popping up at some stations where they just kind of use an old pump that's not doesn't have a credit card. It's just one of their older pumps that they've got, and they've been converting those to E85 because there is a demand, and they're advertising it. You know, there's a gas station right over on Arcade in Minnehaha that's doing that, and I think they've been getting a tremendous amount of business from it. So I think we do need to monitor this, Senator Vickerman, to make sure that that we're doing enough to help. But I think that this will really help where it's needed. So okay.
Madam Chair, Mr. Knopf just pointed out to me is when originally we put the language in the ag bill, there was a number of extra language talking about how it should be spread and across the state and some other limitations and maximums. None of that language was in the Department of Commerce's bill, but from my understanding and talking with them, they were carrying out the program, or American Lung Association was pretty much carrying out the program that was under the Department of Ag. They'll continue to do this and continue working under the same guidelines, but we could certainly add some of that language to the bill if needed.
Yeah, and if we need to do that to make sure the money gets targeted to where it really is needed, we can do that. But we'll check with Commerce.
And Madam Chair, a couple of things. No. You know, limited to 50% of the total cost, and then the 15, with a maximum of 15,000 per pump. I mean, at a maximum, it'd still get you about 34 pumps, but I think the average was somewhere between 0 and 15. So.
Okay. So I think it'll do a lot, and this is just for a year, so we'll revisit it, no doubt. All right. Are we
clean
done?
Water.
Oh, clean water. I knew there was else.
Madam Chair, on the back side of that page are the,
oh, yeah. Yeah.
the clean water appropriations, and I've laid this spreadsheet, I've laid it out comparing that to what was in the governor's bill. The governor had $20,000 per year of ongoing money for clean water. You look down at the bottom, I'm showing 19.9. There's another $100,000 per year that is being carried, or was for a PFA, and that's over in a different budget. So, but for comparison purposes, I've laid out our proposal next to it. We have $35,000 per year. Pretty much use a lot of the same categories that were in the governor's bill, just boosted some of them up. And you'll see the far right column is where we've increased funding compared to the governor's proposal. We've added another $12.2 million total to the PCA for assessments, kept the same amount for developing TMDL plans. DNR, we've given them another $500,000 for assessments and a little bit $760,000 for non-point restoration and protection. Bowser was the other big portion that saw increases. Another $7.3 million in targeted non-point restoration cost share. Same level for non-point technical assistance. Same level for as the governor's bill for applied soil and water conservation practices. Increase of $5.3 million for county grants for ISTS programs. A $200,000 increase for local non-point source protection. And then a new line item that was not in the governor's proposal is another $1 million per year for imminent threat or failing ISTS identification and programs. Under ag, this was the same amount of money that was removed out of Senator Vickerman's ag bill in finance and is being carried over in this area now. But it's the same level, the governor's level, $4.5 million for the biennium, which gets us to 70.
And Senator Vickerman was nice enough to share his clean water funding with us so we could all do it together in this committee and just to focus on how important this priority is for the Senate. It's nice to have it in one place so we can see what we're doing overall across state agencies to deal with clean water. And, you know, I guess I'll just make a couple comments now. I think this is a good bill. It's not a perfect bill, but I think it's very balanced. It's very bipartisan. It does as much as we can to focus on some of our key priorities. And it doesn't do everything that I'd like to do. But it really focuses as much as we're able to right now under our budget constraints on clean water and goes a lot further than we were looking at with the governor's budget. Obviously, I think the need is more than this. And it tells us how critically important that dedicated funding will be over the long term. We have a significant investment in forestry resources, and I think right now, while the industry is struggling, it's a critical time to do that. Parks and trails get a small increase, which I think they desperately needed. We have another priority in the area of renewable energy and next generation bioenergy proposals. Those, I think, are really important, and we share that priority along with the forestry priority with the governor. And we do some good work in invasive species here. I think those are just a few of the highlights. So, you know, as we were talking this morning in the Education Committee about how it, you know, our funding doesn't really get us everything that we would want to see, we know that there's been budget cuts, and we know that environment and conservation spending is the lowest it's been in decades. And a lot of us talk about that and want to try to do something about it, but we can't fix it all at once. And, you know, but I think we're moving in the right direction with this bill. So I hope that we can coalesce around this bill and be proud of it and move it forward in the Senate. I have a couple of small amendments I want to put out that I relate to my bills. Well, one is my renewable energy wind assistance program bill, and there was just an error in the draft. We just need to correct some language that didn't make it into the draft, and that's the A1 amendment.
This just clarifies.
We ended up in that proposal, as you saw in the language yesterday, giving the grant to the Center for Rural Policy Development, which I think is a good consensus choice that everybody's happy with. And we just want to clarify that the money goes from them. They make a grant. So they'll be doing the RFP and setting up criteria and then passing it through to a nonprofit. So we just wanted to be – that's what the bill said, and so we just want to clarify that with this language. So, Senator Vickerman, would you move this for me since I'm in the chair? So Senator Vickerman moves adoption of the A1 amendment. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion prevails. And then, there's another A1 amendment. No. Okay.
Different.
Not to the same.
Sorry,
bill.
I should have read the number. The one we just adopted was the SC5532A1 amendment. This one is the SC5534A1 amendment. And this is at the request of Senator Metzen relating to the Legislative Electric Energy Task Force. And he just asked that we put the extension of that task force in this bill. It's been extended, I think, once before, and it sunsets this year. I can't remember if it's this year.
It says right on.
Thank you. It does. It's scheduled to sunset at the end of this year. So this just extends it five more years. So Senator Benson has asked for that.
I'll move.
Any discussion? Senator Vickerman moves this amendment. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No motion prevails. Thank you. Any other amendments? Senator Kubley?
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. I have just a small amendment on the SC 5527-2 bill, Article 1. On page 10, line 19. It's not drafted.
Oh, it's an oral amendment?
It's just an oral amendment, yeah.
Okay, page 10.
Page 10, line 19. I guess the request is that I think that's $125,000. Is that right?
For the ring bags?
Which bill is he on?
Or is it that much? It might not be that much.
Can you just tell us how much?
I think I know what he wants to do.
Oh, Mr. Knopf?
Well, Madam Chairman and Senator Kubley, that's the base amount for the ring dikes you're talking about.
The only change I wanted to make, Madam Chair, is to, ask if the money for the biennium could be available in 1 year.
In the first year?
Yeah.
Or any time during that period?
Any time, yes.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah, okay. So
Madam
Mr.
Chair,
Knopf?
Senator Kubley, if you wanted to do that, right now the money in the first year is available in the second year if it's not used. You could delete that sentence on 10.23 to 10.25 and just insert, if the appropriation in either year is insufficient, the appropriation in the other year is available for it.
Do you want to do
way.
That? Senator Kubley?
So move that sentence.
He moves.
I'm not sure I can read it slowly, but I'll be.
I think okay. We get the gist of it. It's pretty simple. All right. Any discussion? Hearing none on Senator Kubley's amendment, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right, Senator Dill.
Madam Chair, I have the A1 amendment.
Another A1 amendment document. Okay, you better read the whole.
To which document?
Number.
Well, this
page.
The big one? That
it's
one.
The SC 5527 A1 amendment. I'm on Article 1, page 43.
Go ahead, Senator Dill. Why don't you explain?
Okay, Madam Chair, when you have a bunch of deletions and additions to an amendment like this and try to fit it in, it takes a little time to do it, which I have done here with my pencil. But the effect of this amendment, as I see it, and Mr. Knopf can correct me if I'm wrong, but there's four effects of this amendment. Number one, the current proposal in your bill is suggesting that the commissioners study this almost continuously and report every 2 years what they find. And this amendment deletes the every 2 years so that there's only one, it's one study, and that report would be due on January 1st, 2009, rather than have this study go on in ad infinitum forever and ever and ever. So that's the first effect. Second effect is that the current language calls for the commissioner of the PCA and health to do the study. I'm adding the Commissioner of Public Safety as well because of the fire issue here. This is a fire retardant, and the Fire Chiefs Association actually is opposing the original bill that this study was attached to. So that's the second effect. The third effect of this amendment is that it's neutral on what the findings and recommendations will be. That's what the amendment does. The language in the existing bill suggests what the recommendations and findings should be. And I don't think it's appropriate to have a study and suggest what the conclusion should be. It just changes those words so that the study is done and they report the public health and environmental effects of these chemicals without suggesting what the conclusion should be. And the fourth effect is that instead of just studying the chemical as being suggested to be banned, decabromdiphenyl ether, It's also suggesting that the study include what the alternatives might be and what the environmental and public health effects of the alternatives are as well, which is an important piece of information. If we're going to ban a chemical and go to something else, we really should know what the effects are of that alternative as well. So, Mr. Knopf, did I cover everything, or is there something else in this amendment that it does that I didn't mention?
Madam Chairman, Senator Dill, it seemed like you covered it fairly thoroughly.
Okay, this is the study language from Senator Pappas's bill that we heard in the policy committee. Senator Frederickson.
Madam Chair, Senator Dill, have looked at your amendment for a minute. I think you need to make a change on line 13 of the amendment. I think you need to delete, instead of deleting everything after 2008, I think you should delete everything after the one comma.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You want to incorporate
correct,
that? Right,
so we don't have 2 years in there, right? Yeah, that would be confusing.
Wait, can you restate that?
Madam Chair, on line 13 of the amendment, mm-hmm. Delete 2008 and insert one comma. And all that would do is make it read, as Senator Dill explained it, be a report January 1, 2009.
All right, so let's just go through these, Senator Dill. So you want to take out at least every 2 years. I think that sounds reasonable, that we should just ask them to do this once, mm-hmm. at least to start. And then you're asking to include the three commissioners, PCA, Health, and Public Safety?
That's correct. We're just adding Public Safety.
All right, and then you want to take out any new evidence regarding the potential harm, and you want to take out recommendations. So what would be left, I'm trying to understand what would be left, that they shall review the uses of the commercial decabromide diphenyl ether, availability of technically feasible alternatives, and the public health and environmental effects posed by commercial decabromodiphenyl ether and alternatives. Did I get that right?
Madam Chair, you've got it correct.
That was
so. It's I know it's a little complicated, but it basically we're just asking them to be neutral as they start the study and report whatever they find and recommend. It may be banning it. It may be recommending not banning it. But the text of the law and the text of the message here in your language is suggesting that the result should be banning restrictions and so on, which may not be the correct conclusion. We just give them the freedom to be intellectually free.
Well, I think, Senator Dill, the only problems I would have with the amendment on first glance is that I think we need to say that they have to make recommendations. If we want to take out what the recommendation should be, I'm okay with that. But I think we're taking out a direction that they should make recommendations at all.
What on line 43.26?
It's still there.
Findings and recommendations. Okay. And then I don't know why it can't be done by 2008, by next January. Doesn't that seem like enough time?
Well, Madam Chair, if you would want to throw 2008 back, maybe we should make it January 15th, 2008.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Or Senator Betzold will make us do it if we don't. Senator Chaudhary, is your hand up? Yeah. Go ahead, please.
Just one other thing, Madam Chair, on line 29. Just may want to clarify which commissioner or commissioners you're talking about with respect to this clearinghouse.
Is that PCA?
It's
a good question. It should be PCA, presumably.
That's fine.
Maybe we should clarify. I think that's a good suggestion to be clear about that. All right, so if we take Senator Dill's amendment and incorporate keep 2008, change it to January 15, 2008, and clarify that on line 43.29, it's the PCA commissioner.
Well, is that the definition earlier in the bill, as it usually would be?
Yeah, it would.
Well, this covers the DNR, too, so I don't know. Is this a PCA section?
Oh. Madam Chair, it's in a commerce. It's basically controlling sales and things of products.
So I think we better.
I think
we might as well clarify it.
Clarify who it is.
So we have a lot of different agencies in
right.
this bill. So,
All right. With those changes incorporated, any any further discussion on the amendment? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion prevails. Any other discussion? Senator Bach.
Madam Chair, I have an oral amendment on Article 1, page 33.33, after subdivision 2, delete is annually appropriated to. And then continuing on page 34, line 34.1, delete the commissioner and. And Madam Chair, what that does is it takes out the statutory appropriation of money that in the new fund that we're creating in the Natural Resources Fund and makes the department come back here and tell us, makes the legislature appropriate the money rather than the department.
Mr. Knopf.
Madam Chair, Senator Bach, the one issue with that is there are some sections that are tied to this, and they, for these services, the department already receives under current law has a statutory appropriation for the same services. It's just that it's divided into a number of accounts, and they were consolidating this into one account. The money is not tracked to the direct appropriations in this bill. These are basically fee-for-service type things. If you look on pages, it's on 27, there are two of the accounts, the gifts, sale authorized for gift certificates, and then there's the receipts on 27.16, that section. And then also on the previous page, sections 11 and 12, these are sections where the money gets deposited in these four different accounts. And as I understand it, all of these accounts have statutory appropriations currently. And what the department was doing was moving this to consolidate these services under one account. So it would be a change. I just wanted to clarify that it would be a change from current practice of having a statutory appropriation for these services.
Well,
Senator Bach.
Madam Chair, the Council, the use of the money, does the use of the money change on the top of page 34?
Madam Chair, Senator Bach, as I understand it, this would be to clearly mark this money to be used to pay for the cost of providing those services, the aerial photography, remote sensing. Those other accounts, they basically said that the money is appropriated back for the services and that the money went in. And so they have to kind of tag it on each account. This would put it all in one account and then have it specifically for the services that they're providing. That's the way I understand how it works.
Well, Madam Chair, the account is big enough now that it's in one account that legislative oversight is probably a good thing. I just get nervous, Madam Chair, about appropriating $600,000+. You know, when it was done in little pieces and little accounts, but we're creating a whole new account here. This actually is a good thing in that we can have a little oversight on it as a budget item 2 years from now when it comes in front of us.
Madam Chair.
Senator Fredrickson.
Madam Chair, usually I agree with you, Senator Bach, on things, but on this one I'm looking at some of the uses here, and I'm wondering if we shouldn't allow this one to go forward. I'm looking on page 27, like section 15. It says money received by the commissioner under the section to buy supplies for the use of volunteers may be credited to one or more special accounts in the state treasury and is appropriated to the commissioner for the purposes for which the money was received. I'm thinking that this is essentially just good management practices for the department.
So, if it's every
I see other places, too, that same phrase that appropriated the commissioner for the purposes for which the money was received, so they're going to have to use it for that activity.
Senator Frederickson, as long as we're not creating new uses for the money on lines 34.1 and 34.2, where we now allow maintain staff and facilities producing aerial photography, remote sensing. Looks like we're creating some new uses of the money.
Mr. Tomlinson, do you want to just tell us if this would create a huge problem? Or please, do you want to say something very briefly? Reaction.
Madam Chair, Bob Tomlinson with the DNR Division of Forestry. The money will be spent for the same things that it was received from in the past and the purposes for which we've spent it before. We're just putting it in the statute here this way to make it more explicit that that's the way it will continue to be spent in the future.
Madam Chair, I'll withdraw my oral amendment. The department wins one.
Thank you.
But I'll be asking 2 years from now.
No, and I think
I'm still alive.
You're very right to do so. You're having a hard week, Senator Bach? Senator Chaudhry.
Are we moving on?
Yes, let's move on.
The DB 47.
Is that an amendment?
Yeah. Shouldn't be controversial. This shouldn't be controversial. This is just creating a three-year fish house license. The cost would be simply triple the amount of an annual fish house license. Would just be for the purpose of being able to buy a license once every 3 years instead of having to go out and buy one every year. So I don't think this would cost anything. And this is a bill that I've introduced, but I haven't had a chance to hear it yet, but I just thought it was just kind of such a low-end controversy that I put the amendment on here.
I just copied the current law.
Is this to the document 5527, Madam Chair?
It is DV 0047.
To which document?
Oh, I'm sorry. To which document? I assume this is to Article 1.
Yeah. Madam Chair, Senator Carrasco, it is to Article 1. This is done while the other document was being worked on, so we just did them as blank amendments. We'll be putting it together down in our office for preparation for introduction, but we'll make sure it's in the appropriate document, but this one is clearly Article 1.
It just stands alone, so I just put it where it needs to go. All right, I guess we need to ask the DNR if there'd be a cost to this.
Madam Chair, it's...
Senator Bach.
It shouldn't be a cost to the general fund. If anything, it's a cost to the Game and Fish Fund, which has a balance in it anyway. But.
True. Mr. Bogus, can you give us
Madam Chair and members, just talking quickly with Mr. Square, we would have to obviously build this into our electronic licensing system, but it would be at most a minimal cost and something we could absorb.
Great. Thank you. Any further discussion on the DV 0047 amendment? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion prevails.
As long as we're on fish houses, Madam Chair.
As long as we're on fish houses. Senator Buck.
I have the DV 0044.
Senator Bach, are these fishing fees the same as what's in the bill?
Madam Chair, what the amendment does, and this is an issue I raised at one of the department overviews, under current law, if you have a portable fish house and you pull it out with your snowmobile or you pull it out with a rope and I think the department testified that if it blocked the wind and it had three sides, it was had to have a license on it, even though maybe never even unhooked it from your snowmobile. At the end of the day, you took it with you. What this amendment does is says if you're not leaving your fish holes on the lake overnight, it doesn't have to have a license. Now, the department, I worked with the department on this, and they tell me that it's revenue neutral to the department if we raise non-resident fishing licenses by $2 to pay for it. So that's what this does. It raises non-resident fishing licenses by $2, and it allows our residents to not have to put a license on a portable fish house that's not going to be left out on the lake.
So we're collecting that many from these portable? I mean, I don't know how much money that is, but this is, so we already have a $2 increase in the bill. This is an additional $2 on the non-resident fishing licenses only. So $4. About $400,000? Mr. Mueller?
Madam Chair, for the existing $2 surcharge that we were carrying in the bill, look on your revenue page of the spreadsheets. In the Natural Resources Fund, we were carrying in the first year about $173,000, and then the ongoing would be about $400,000 per year of additional money from the non-resident fishing license this would create, and would be a similar loss off the fees that they collect from the portable fish houses. So I have looked at the data that they sent to Senator Bach, and it's pretty close to a wash, but, yeah, it should cover it.
Any discussion? Senator Chaudhry.
Just one comment, one question. That effect of this is that non-residents would no longer have to pay an ice house fee if it's a portable. So this could be really I see this as a net benefit to particularly resorts over the winter months. They may be paying $2 extra, but they're no longer paying the portable.
Correct.
And then secondly, the question I have is, how is overnight defined?
I'd have to defer to counsel.
Yeah.
Well, Madam Chair and Senator Chaudhry, it's the same term that it's already used in that statute.
Yeah.
So it's a term of art, but basically, if you leave it unattended overnight, then it's... If you're staying in the fish house, if you're out ice fishing at midnight or 2 in the morning, you're okay. But if you just leave it out overnight unattended where you've left the fish house, then you have to have a tag on it, or you have to buy the license.
So, Madam Chair, Mr. Knopf, how long do you have to leave it unattended for it to be considered overnight?
Madam Chair, Senator Chaudhry, I don't know if you want Colonel Hamm to come up here, but that is something that the enforcement has to deal with right now under current law.
I'd be curious.
Colonel Hamm.
Madam Chair, members, Colonel Mike Hamm, Chief Conservation Officer for the Department of Natural Resources, and members to the question, we do deal with this currently after the time period of when fish houses have to be off the ice. And so as long as somebody is anywhere close, either operating a tip-up sitting on the outside of the fish shelter, say that it's a nice spring, warm spring evening, and they're not actually in the house, but they're on the ice saying, "Officer, that's my house over there." We can deal with that. If the conservation officer pulls up to the fish shelter and there isn't anybody around, it's unattended. And so the collapsible at that time would be seized, and then we would start looking for folks. And I suppose if the collapsible is attached to the ATV, Senator Bach, we probably will hang on to the ATV for safekeeping until the individual claims it.
How would they get there then?
All right, thank you very much. Any further discussion? On the DV0044 amendment, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion prevails. Any further discussion on the bill? Senator Bach.
Madam Chair, that went so good, I have the DV0045.
Like one of these isn't going to be very good.
Which one was the water test one? Which one was the water test one? Our threshold.
Which one? Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's good.
The very first or the second
this one. Really
and we'll adjust the writers to reflect the money in the spreadsheet.
Got it.
So we have to adopt all four articles, or is that just one motion?
You can do it all.
Okay, Senator Bach.
Madam Chair, in the bill, we're raising the registration fee for all-terrain vehicles, and I have a little concern about that for old machines that people just use around the yard and maybe use it to haul a little bit of firewood in. And what this amendment says is that if an ATV is 25 years old or older, it's not subject to registration. And we have something kind of similar for 25-year-old snowmobiles in law. So it's not all that much different than what we have for snowmobiles. It's will help out some people Senator Vickerman's age who are just kind of using it around the...
Haven't got 25 years to go.
Around the house.
So we got to do it now.
Yeah, well, Senator Bach, I think anyone who can keep their ATV going for 25 years deserves a break. You know? Deserves some kind of credit.
You know, Madam Chair, I don't think they're ever going to use them on trails. They're pretty old. I think they're all three-wheelers nowadays, and dealers can't even sell them against the law to sell them. So whoever's yard they're sitting in is probably where they're going to stay.
So this means that were originally produced as a separate identifiable make. Does that mean we're excluding like homemade ones that are just
tinkered?
Okay, gotcha. All right.
What does that mean?
Or repackaged ones.
Or repackaged.
Well, Madam Chair,
Mr. Knopf?
The language on the identifiable is the same language we use for the snowmobiles.
Okay.
It makes it clear that otherwise, the department may not be able to tell whether it's a 25 years old. If you don't, it has to, you know, if you've kind of pieced one together from old parts or whatever.
Right, there might be some old, some new, yeah. Whatever. Okay. Just to help Colonel Hamm there. Any discussion? All right, on the DV-0045 amendment, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion prevails.
Chair,
Senator
Frederson. Are you looking for a motion?
Yes, please. I think we're. Any further discussion? Let's start our motions. Senator Chaudhry.
I have an amendment, another amendment.
Okay.
Is that all right?
I don't know. Depends what it says.
Yeah, so find out. The DV-46. members,
this one.
Relates to the part of Article 1 that deals with the Game and Fish Fund Budget Oversight Committee. What we have in the bill currently is a request for the DNR to report back to the legislature on the current and apparent imbalance in the Game and Fish Fund, which is to the tune of around $22 million between fishery spending and wildlife spending. I've heard from a number of members of the Game and Fish Fund Budget Oversight Committee, the Citizen Oversight Committee, about this problem. The DNR is starting to bring together stakeholders to solve this issue. But when I attended the Citizen Oversight Committee meeting a few weeks ago, it was apparently one of the very few times in a long time that a legislator had actually attended the meeting. Legislators are always welcome there. Everyone on the Citizen Oversight Committee is very dedicated and very interested in this topic. But it seems like if we're going to have these discussions about the Game and Fish Fund, imbalances within the fund, and the fund in general, then I think it might be good to have a better nexus between the legislature and the Citizen Oversight Committee. So this just simply puts two members of the legislature, one from the Senate and one from the House, on the on that Citizen Oversight Committee as non-voting members. I've got a bill in. Actually, I've drafted a bill that has legislators on the Citizen Oversight Committee as voting members, but this scales that back and just trying to create a nexus between the what we're doing here and the Game and Fish Fund.
Okay. Senator Vickerman.
Well, Madam Chair, I know we want to move this bill along. Mm-hmm. Senator Rest, she's awful tough on committees and forming this.
That's a good point.
We don't want it to go there, do we?
No, we don't. No, we don't.
So
maybe
if
we
this
should
goes on, that's where it would probably end up.
Senator Chaudhry, have you talked to her?
Madam Chair, I have not. The rule says that it will go to her committee if we create a new council.
But she can still request it beyond that.
She could, and I guess I don't know either way if she would.
You know,
I've got a suggestion, Madam Chair.
Senator Vickerman.
Senator Chaudhry, why don't you withdraw your amendment and talk to Senator Rest. This moves along. Maybe we could put it on.
I think yesterday I told you it should be in this bill. Maybe I'm changing my mind right now, and maybe you should put this in your omnibus bill, your policy bill, Senator Chaudhry.
And I think it was a kind of a questionable call about whether this was policy or budget. And so if you want it in your bill, it's fine. If you don't want it, we can carry it somewhere
else. I think
it's
safer to do that. I think it's fine. Either way, it doesn't have to be here. And that way you can work with Senator Rest and make sure that it'll work out.
I'll withdraw the amendment.
Great. Thank you. Yep. Senator Fredrickson.
Madam Chair, I would move that the documents identify as SC-5534-2, 5527-2, 5532-3, and 5533, and the accompanying spreadsheet as enumerated by Mr. Mueller be compiled and introduced as a committee bill, referred to the Finance Committee for...
One time,
okay, Madam Chair, I'll start over again. I move that SC-5534.2 and 5527.2 and the accompanying spreadsheets be compiled, introduced as a committee bill, and recommended for passage by the Senate Finance Committee. And 5532-3 and 5533 be forwarded to the full committee as our recommendations. And that staff be authorized to make conforming and technical adjustments to the language and the spreadsheets to make them grammatically and technically correct.
Madam Chair,
on
the point of the motion that
Senator
was just made.
Let me just make sure we have the correct motion. Is that all we need to have? Sure. All right, on Senator Fredrickson's motion. Senator Parasol.
Madam Chair, I would like to take out of the motion 5533 because I have a large question, and I would seek some testimony here in the room today because I don't know what's going on with a certain section of it, and I would like that we address it before we move it anywhere.
Well, Senator Parasol,
so I would ask the 5533 be taken out of that motion, and you can move the rest of the motion.
Senator Parasol, the clean water section, you want to take that out? I don't think we need to take a section out. Why don't you just tell us what your question is, and we can talk about it.
Sorry,
we can certainly take your question.
Sorry, just a moment. Sorry, Madam Chair. I'm referring to the wrong one because they're mixed up in my file there now. I'm sorry, Madam Chair. It's 5534-2. I was looking at the wrong one. I left it in a position and I buried it on something else. 5534 is the one that I would like to have some testimony here.
Well, Senator Parasol, tell me what you're getting at here. I have told people that we're not going to take testimony today. We've only asked for answers to our questions on amendments. Because if
Madam
we
Chair,
open
I have
up,
a question on a content in here that I have never heard anything about.
Okay, Senator Parasol, if we open it up to testimony, then probably everyone in this room would want to testify on different provisions of the bill. So I just am a little concerned about that, but why don't you tell us what your question is and
question,
see if we
Madam
can get
Chair,
an answer.
The question, Madam Chair, is on Section 6 of 5534-2.
Okay,
section
your
seven.
Question?
Section 7, Senator Parasol.
Section 7.
Okay, and your question,
well,
Senator Parasol?
Well, why is it? On mine it says 6.
No, that's
the appropriation language.
Section 7 on page 3. Is that what you're referring to, Senator Perez? So just what would you like to
Section
know?
Section 6 of 5534-2.
Madam Chair, Senator Perisol, Section 6 is the appropriation for the Public Utilities Commission. Section 7 is the change to the RDF fund.
All right. I thought that was all in the same section. I'm sorry.
Two separate sections.
All right. Then it is Section 7,
okay.
Madam Chair.
And do you have a question on this?
I want to hear from the company whose money is being transferred from their account to somebody else's account.
Senator Perisol, the problem is if I invite them to testify right now, then I think everyone who is for this will want to testify as well. And so then we could have a long committee hearing. Now, I understand you have questions about it. The company presumably isn't thrilled with this provision. I think it's important to do this, and I've talked with them about it. And I think that, this is the first step for this bill, and there's a lot more time to have discussion about the provisions in this bill that people have objections to or that people support. So I just don't think we can open up to testimony pro and con on issues at this point in time.
Madam Chair, I think that we are the Finance Committee, and this is the first time I have seen language on this, and the money in here is my objection. So I would like to hear from them, if you don't mind.
Well, Senator,
and I can tell that you do, Madam Chair, but I still think that everybody here needs to hear from the company because we aren't all on the Policy Committee.
Well,
energy.
And Senator Perisol, part of the problem is we haven't had an opportunity because of our crazy deadlines.
It wasn't mine.
We haven't had an opportunity to have enough discussion about this, and so
exactly.
We had to put it in by way of amendment into this bill, and so that's the way we've done a number of things in this bill.
Well, Madam Chair, this is a good way to lose a vote on a bill, to not have anybody be able to hear how everything got into the bill.
Well, Senator Perisol,
we weren't all part of that.
That's, I've invited you to come and meet with me several times to talk about what's in this bill.
Madam Chair, I have had overlapping committees day after day after day.
As we all have.
We don't get lunch sometimes because we can't eat lunch.
I know. It's very difficult. It's been a very difficult schedule, and I've just tried my best
to work with
committee
members. Madam Chair, the people are here
today.
Could we please hear from them briefly?
Senator Perisol, we don't have time today, but we will certainly have an opportunity to take reaction to what's in the bill at future dates. On Senator Frederickson's motion,
when it comes to the
is there any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no?
No!
Motion prevails. Is that the end of what we have to do for motions? Okay. So this will be introduced as a bill. Mr. Mueller?
Yeah, clarify. Article 1 and 2 as amended and with the numbers in the spreadsheet, the big spreadsheet, not the one-time spreadsheet, will be put into one bill and then referred to you for authored by you for introduction. And then when we hear it in finance, it will be as an introduced bill, Articles 1 and 2.
Okay. Thank you. And I have to thank the staff for their incredible hard work in putting this bill together. We all know how very much work it is to get this done. So thank you very much. The meeting is adjourned.